This show was made at Art Media with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, artmedia.org.nz.
Welcome to Redefining Yourself in Retirement with Pam Finney, thanks to Legalis. It's not always about the work you're leaving behind, it's about discovering what's next. This is Redefining Yourself in Retirement.
Welcome to today's podcast. As always, it is lovely to have you here. I'm Pam Finney, and I'm someone who can happily talk for hours about how we shape and reshape our identities during times of change, such as moving into retirement. If you have listened to the other episodes in this series of 10, you will know that I am very easily sidetracked, as well as often being struck by light bulb moments. I have a background in HR, and as well I've completed 2 MPhil theses about change, with one about constructing your identity in the transition to retirement. Today we are joined by Trish, who had an idea of what retirement would be for her, and in a whirlwind of unexpected multiple changes in both her work and personal life, she reassessed and redesigned her retirement path in a way that reflects her strong faith and evolving priorities. The traditional view of what we call retirement, whether it was forced or whether it was chosen, was seen as full-time work being replaced by full-time leisure. However, with older people living longer and in better health, instead of viewing retirement as a one-time decision of a before and after, it can be seen as a gradual withdrawal from pre-retirement work. As an example of this, Trish, who currently has a 9-hour part-time job, mentioned she is eventually going to retire again. And that is the beauty of retiring. How you do it will always be a work in progress. Now, my first question is, Trish, when did you first start thinking about retiring and what was the trigger?
When I was 68, I had a major change in my life. I lost a son and I was working front of house in a government department dealing with Joe Public, and I loved the job, but I suddenly noticed I had less tolerance, certainly less patience for people coming in telling me they'd been on the 0800 line and bloody blah, and that was all going on in the back of my head, and I thought, no, time to stop. We also had a major change coming in one of the legislations that I dealt with, and that meant me going back onto the computer and relearning a new change, and I thought, now I've got past it. I wasn't born with electronics in my hand, and they're not my favourite thing to deal with, so time to stop. And I worked through till the September, and then day before the legislation came in, I stopped.
Trish had a retirement plan, and as you heard, she was juggling multiple changes at the same time, and she was in different stages in each. For Trish, she was dealing with the death of her son, new legislation being introduced at work which would impact on the work she did, and transitioning into retirement. This meant that she reconsidered her retirement plan and chose to leave the day before the legislation was introduced. I've met many people who have absolutely loved the work that they do, and I wondered, what on earth was the catalyst for you retiring? And strangely enough, it was things like legislation being introduced, a new system or a process being introduced at work, such as a new payroll system. It may have been moving into an open plan office. And people who have been passionate about what they do wake up one day and they suddenly decide, enough, I don't want to do any more. And it's not that they cannot cope with change or they cannot cope with new technology that's coming in. It's they just make the decision, I just don't want to do it. So like others, it wasn't that Trish couldn't have managed the change, it was that she didn't want to. Just like computers, she didn't like them, they weren't her favourite thing, but it wasn't that she was unable to use them. Work is seen as central to a person's identity. And when that work identity ends, for some, a large void opens up. Once work disappears, if there is nothing to replace it, such as non-work identities, for example, grandparenting, travel, being in groups, staying active, interests, etc. That void can be filled with an aging identity, with emptiness, and with the sense that time is running out and that life as they knew it is about to end. Now, my next question to Trish is, what does retirement mean to you?
I don't think I had any great visions of retirement. In fact, probably it scared me because I can't imagine not having a project. So I always thought once I stopped work, where I was committed 5 days a week, I'd have time for the grandkids and helping the children, look after them, and travel perhaps, although I did a lot of travelling while I was working. I need projects and I need people. I thought I'd do hiking, but that never ever came to pass, I think because I jumped straight in helping my sister in her shop. So hiking became a thing of the past. I joined a gym, which I enjoy. I love walking in the park. We've been blessed with a beautiful park. But other than that, yeah, I just keep myself busy. I don't seem to be home much. My little car's never in the garage. It's always out somewhere. And yeah, to me, that's retirement.
While Trish acknowledges that there could have been a void when work ended, she had a number of non-work related activities that transferred over to her new role of being retired. Trish believed that a successful retirement meant having activities that were meaningful to her and having a clear purpose. Moving on to our next question, which is, Trish, what did you lose when you retired?
I loved my job and I knew I was reasonably good at it. I had a couple of people that I leaned on heavily because they had their computer knowledge and I didn't like computers. So when I came to leave, I really lost that companionship, that camaraderie that was in the office. I was sort of the old duck in the office, but I was treated really, really well. They really did treat me well, and I felt needed and wanted. So when I left, I missed that. I found myself going back, you know, every couple of weeks I'd go take in some baking because that was my thing, and I'd go and have morning tea with them, have a chat, have a laugh, catch up with what everybody was doing. And I kept doing that for probably, a few months, and then all of a sudden I found that I didn't have the time or I didn't need that as much. I went straight to a family member has a business, so I went straight in to help her, which is a fun shop, great feelings in there. And so that sort of covered the gap, I think. Otherwise, I don't know how I would have survived because I'm a person that needs to be doing stuff. I probably jumped on because the grandkids were getting that much older, so I was able to follow what they were doing, and that things like that you can't do when you're working a 40-hour week during the day, you know. I gained time to be able to be, you know, do more walks, do the things I wanted to do. And I guess I've got a bit of the old arthritis, so standing at work all the time affected that, whereas now I can look after it, so to speak. I still miss work because it was regulated, I guess. You know, and that's the thing, you've got to have something to get up for in the morning. You've got to have a purpose. So for me, getting up and going and helping others is probably my purpose.
Listening to Trish, it is clear that given she didn't ease into retirement and that on her last day she suddenly stopped full-time work, she had a void left that full-time work used to fill. Initially, she dropped into work for morning tea, doing so every few weeks. But very quickly, her life had filled the void that retiring had created. She, within a couple of months, didn't have the time to take morning tea into her old workplace. And she also didn't need to be doing that so much to be keeping in contact with her previous colleagues as she built a non-working identity. Now, this was not because she filled her life with being frantically busy, but because she now had more time to do the things she wanted to do, such as being a grandmother. She rarely sees people from her previous role these days, but when she does, it is very enjoyable for everybody concerned. And like other interviewees, Trish knows she needs structure and purpose. Now, on to our next question. Trish, how do you balance your time?
I love reading, so I always make sure I've got time for reading. I like puzzles, so I do my puzzle when I can. But if the kids need me, so I'm talking family, if something's happened and they need me, then I'm there for them. Knowing in the background, because I don't work anymore, I can just go back to my puzzles and my books anytime I like. I support my grandchildren. I love going and watching them play their sports and so forth. They're out of town, so that means I've got to travel. And, you know, that's special because they really do love having Nana there. So I do that, but then at the same time, I get tired, but I know I'm going home to do whatever the hell it is I want to do. sewing curtains and blinds and things that family need. Again, while I might find it a trial, think, why did I open my mouth and volunteer for this? I know at the end of the day, it might only be a 3-day hop, and then I can go back to just doing whatever it is I need to do for me, which is generally reading or doing the puzzles, or don't bake much anymore. Used to bake, love going for my walks in the park because I love the park. And I guess I've got strong faith, so that keeps me going as well.
What a delightfully pragmatic response about balancing time. Trish clearly has a full life with on time and off time, a mix of giving and taking time for herself, all underpinned with a strong faith. Her activities are a mix of activities involving others and then activities not involving others, such as reading or doing puzzles. And both of those have equal importance to Trish. Now, naturally, I have to sidetrack for just a moment before we get on to the next question. People often distance themselves from certain groups, such as ex-colleagues, as they reshape an identity and recreate themselves during the transition to retirement. Now, I once had a colleague who had a high-profile, successful, and very demanding career, and when he retired, that was it. He did not want to stay associated with his previous profession. He wanted to build a non-work life. Yet others may do the opposite and want to stay closely associated with their previous profession, which for so long has shaped who they are. A couple of years ago, and this is going on a slightly different track, I was in a car park and bumped into someone I hadn't seen for a while, so we stopped for a chat. This person was a professional woman. She'd been a senior manager in a large organisation. She is great fun and has a stylish sense of dress. I had never looked at her and thought she was trying to look younger than she was. She is, simply, a stylish person. Now, during our conversation, which, and I'm so predictable, also included discussing retirement and ageing, she mentioned that she had a friend who was around the same age as her, but had a very dowdy and ageing style of dress and manner. Now, while she still saw the person as her friend, she was uncomfortable going out in public with her, as she did not want to be perceived as being old and in decline through being seen with her. This is the same as someone who at 70 years wouldn't go on a bus trip for over 65s, no matter how interesting the bus trip, as they did not want to be seen as an old age pensioner going on a day bus trip. Or, similar vein, you may know someone who prefers to mix with people who are younger than they are. Now, this can be really interesting and stimulating. Or for some, it is that they do not want to be associated with older people. They only want to be associated with younger people. Now, these are examples of ageism. We shouldn't fear ageing. We should fear ageism. The real problem isn't ageing itself. It's the way society, and that includes some older people, discriminates against people because they're older. So older people as well as younger people contribute to ageism. An example of this is telling someone they look younger than they are, and you thinking it is a compliment, and the person you said it to thinking it is a compliment, and that there is nothing wrong with saying it. Well, actually it is a problem, as it's an ageist statement, the privileging of youth over age. What you're saying, it's far better not to look your age, it's far better to look younger. And then there are those who think they challenge ageing by proudly saying such things as, I'm 74 years young. Yet in response, another might say, me saying I'm 74 years young is like my friend saying she is 350 pounds thin. Ouch! But doesn't that put it into perspective? Now that last quote is attributed to many people, and some say it was said by Joan Rivers, an American comedian who was famous for her sharp humour and fearless style. Something to think about, certainly. Now let's get another question in. Trish, what do you like about retirement, and what would you like to change about your retirement?
I like everything I do. I wouldn't do it. The good thing about retirement is you don't have to do something if you don't want to do it. So anything I do, I can honestly say I enjoy. It's what I want to do. What I'd like to change? No, I'm probably getting near retirement again in terms of giving up my little 9-hour job. Yeah, but right now, no, I wouldn't change anything. I'm still managing doing what I'm doing, and that's important. I think the day I can't manage anymore, you know, that's the day to give up employment anyway. I love catching up. Every now and then I get a phone call and we have catch-ups with old staff members. If somebody passes away in the office, I'm still contacted to go along to the funeral. And we've had a couple of those recently, and it's been so cool to catch up with all the staff. You know, they sort of come and tell me what's been happening in their lives, and that's important to me because they were part of my life for a very, very long time. If anything, that's the bit you miss. It's that camaraderie in a group. So in order to find that, then I probably hang out with my sisters a lot because there's good camaraderie there. So, at this stage, you know, I wouldn't change anything. As long as people keep talking to me, I'm happy.
What a great statement. The good thing about retirement is you don't have to do something if you don't want to. Having choice and freedom is such a common theme in answers from people who have retired. Plus that wonderful bit where I'm probably getting near retirement again in relation to Trisha's part-time role. I absolutely love that. Now, right, last question. Trish, what advice would you give to others about retirement?
If you're thinking about retirement, I mean, I take things for granted, I suppose, and I just carry on. But it didn't occur to me till I finished work. I would say ease into it. And I was advised to cut back my hours, just ease into retirement. But me being me, no, I'll just stop. And you probably do need to ease into it in hindsight. I wouldn't have had that gap where I missed the staff so much because in my mind I would have been building up for it. But when I stopped work, I love gardening. And when I finally stopped, I found instead of having to try and prune the roses and do all the things that you need to do in your gardens when I get home at night when I was tired, or do it on the weekends when I had other things I could have been doing, I had all day. Or I could choose my times during the day to do that because I do love my garden. And still fit in my reading and any other things I wanted to do. So just think about what your passions are. Think about what your passions are and make sure you've got something out there that you're going to attach to, because you do need to have something to look forward to when you do retire, because it's a big change. It's a very big change, and especially if you just stop dead like I did. Work your way into it, but make sure you've got hobbies.
More practical comments from Trish, this time about the importance of easing into it rather than coming to a sudden stop. Advice that someone had given her, which she ignored, but wished she hadn't. For Trish, A stop from full-time work meant the sudden absence of a network of work colleagues built up over many years who were no longer part of her day. Ex-colleagues might have been part of your life for a long time, and previously I mentioned the grief of not having contact with colleagues, etc. That grief when you're going through change is real, and it can hit you at any moment, and it can be for all sorts of things. The other side to that is, like many others, you might have the joy of having the freedom and choice in retirement to do such things as more time for gardening. A huge light bulb moment for me, and what would a podcast be without a light bulb moment, came as I was doing a presentation to a group of research students about my own research. The presentation was being done by Zoom, and I only had sound, no picture, due to a glitch with the camera on the other side, I hasten to add. Technology is a wonderful thing. Now, during the presentation, two of the older students, who by the sound of their voices, remember I didn't have a camera so I couldn't see them, were in their 60s, and they were involved in the discussion. The first one gave no indication of being in paid or funded work and said he was receiving superannuation. Something about what he was saying caused me to ask, and possibly showing a touch of ageism, as why would I assume someone who was older was retired, do you consider yourself to be retired? The answer, no, came back very firmly. The second student had mentioned that she and her husband lived off-grid, were self-sufficient and received no income. She mentioned she had 2 years to go before she would be entitled to super. Again, as she was talking, something, clearly that ageist streak, made me ask if she considered herself to be retired. The answer came back, no, I'm working harder than I've ever worked. They did not see themselves as retired, yet others may have perceived that they were, and that what they perceived as work, and that is studying, was not necessarily seen as proper work by others. Just like the 70-year-old not wanting to go on a bus trip for over 65, something to reflect on. Were the two people trying to distance themselves as being thought of as retired? It's a question that puzzles me. Now, I'd like to talk a bit, just before we finish, about volunteering. How often have you heard someone say something like, oh, Mum's retired and she's got a little volunteer job. It's good, it keeps her busy. Such things can be said in such a condescending tone. This implies it's not real, meaningful, or worthy work. It suggests she is someone who needs to be kept busy rather than someone offering anything of any value. In other words, her volunteer work isn't real work, it's just a little pastime so she doesn't sit around. I asked our local volunteer coordinating agency how much money do people volunteering contribute annually to the New Zealand economy. They provided the latest stats, which were around $6.4 billion. I would suggest that it is real, meaningful, and worthy work. Volunteering makes a huge difference to what happens in our community. And almost every retired volunteer I have spoken to says they get more out of volunteering, which is unpaid work, than they put in. In a later podcast, I'm going to have someone from that volunteer coordinating agency come and talk about volunteering opportunities and words from the wise in relation to retired volunteers. And that's it. We're at the end of another episode. A huge thank you to Trish for sharing her thoughts. Now, but before we finish this series of podcasts, there will be one on ageing. If you are in a bookshop in the next few weeks, have a look at the birthday cards that make jokes about age. People laugh and think they are funny, yet would people make similar jokes about race or sex or religion? There would be an uproar, but it's still acceptable to make jokes about age. Now, I also would ask that you look at ads for beauty products, many saying, use this cream and look younger. the underpinning message being, whatever you do, don't look your age. Looking younger is always better. Anyway, more about that in the next episode. So another huge thank you to our sponsor Legalis, your lawyer for wills, trusts, power of attorney, property and refinancing. And thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information on this show and others like this, head along to our website, artmedia.org.nz. That's artmedia.org.nz.
We've made this podcast with help from New Zealand On Air, here at Art Media. For more information, head to our website, artmedia.org.nz.